Please keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 15. Father in heaven, today I ask that in this service, you would anoint me, speak to hearts, and Father, may our eyes be always focused on you. May it be obvious that we are in your presence. Our very countenance might it show it. Father, speak to us by thy word and through thy word in Christ's name. Amen. My message today is the sins of the saints, a wrong attitude. Jesus spake of Christianity in a very practical sense. In one of his sermons, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, we've titled that sermon, The Beatitudes or the Blessed Attitudes. These are the attitudes that are to be in the life of the child of God, the Spirit-filled Christian. He's to be humble, meek, lowly, merciful, righteous, patient, a peacemaker. We read in Matthew 5 that when Jesus saw the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, he opened his mouth and taught his disciples, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers." Those are not nine different people. They should be things that are found in every Christian who is filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. There are good attitudes and there are bad attitudes. There are right attitudes and there are wrong attitudes. You've all heard the expression, he or she has a bad disposition or a lousy attitude. So-and-so has a bad outlook on life. They're miserable and they make everyone else around them miserable. Now let me read from Webster's dictionary his definition of an attitude. It's a manner of acting, feeling or thinking that shows in one's disposition. I saw a t-shirt that said, it's all about attitude. Now, I've tried to be very practical in my preaching, very clear. I want to preach the whole Word of God to all the people of God. I heard of a Southern preacher who got up, and you'd only hear this in the South, got up and said, I want to announce this morning that there are 12 chicken thieves in our congregation this morning, including Brother Johnson. Brother Johnson naturally didn't like it very well, so he met him at the close of the service and he said, you bawled me out publicly. I want you in the service tonight to apologize and to retract that statement. And the preacher said, yes, I will do that. So in the evening service, he said, I said to you this morning that there were 12 chicken thieves in the congregation, including Brother Johnson. But I want to take that statement back and apologize to Brother Johnson. I say now there were 11 chicken thieves in this congregation this morning, not counting Brother Johnson. Now, we certainly do not want to overlook anyone when it comes to preaching and proclaiming the problem of sin. Let me begin by saying wrong attitudes are a result of sin. This elder brother had resentment, bitterness, unforgiving spirit, pride. He was judgmental. He had the wrong outlook on life. And the wrong outlook is a combination of sin, and what's in our heart will come out in our disposition. We read in the book of Hebrews where the writer in chapter 3 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be an evil heart of unbelief, lest any be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, whereby many be defiled. I'm saying to you that we've got to go to the root of the problem, and the root of the problem many times is an attitude. The wrong attitude is a result of sin. And if it's a result of sin, we're responsible for those wrong attitudes. John says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We are to confess our sins, and we're to confess them to the Lord, and God will forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. If it's sin, we must confess it as sin. We've inherited a certain disposition and temperament from our parents and our grandparents and from our forefathers. But Christian, I want you to know the Spirit of God wants to fill you with Himself and use your personality for His glory. Now, this elder brother had a sin problem. Let me read in verse 29 of our text. And this elder brother answered his father, saying, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. And thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. Five times in that one verse, he uses the word I and my, and belittles his father. For he says in verse 30, As soon as this thy son, not my brother, but thy son has come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. I say to you that wrong attitudes are the result of sin, and we must deal with it. Wrong attitudes can be detected in one's personality. Wrong attitudes will be expressed in our speech. It'll be seen in our countenance. Dwight L. Moody was holding evangelistic meetings in the entire city of Chicago. Thousands and tens of thousands of people were there. And D.L. Moody said to his head usher, come up to the platform, and then Moody said to his head usher, Who is that man down there? I don't like his looks. His face repels me. One of the assistant ushers. And the head usher said, Well, that man is Charles de Gaulle. And that man afterwards would assassinate President Garfield. He was so enraged that he was not appointed a position in government that he went off his mind and assassinated the president. A wrong attitude will stick out like a sore thumb and glare like a neon light. Family and friends and those about you will detect it. Adam and Eve had two children, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, one was a farmer, one was a shepherd. And they brought the fruit of their ground to the Lord. Cain brought vegetables. Abel brought a lamb. And God had respect to Abel and not to Cain. Now, that speaks to us that one tries to come to God without blood and one with the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And God said to Cain, Why are you wroth and your countenance fallen? And the Lord said to Cain, Why is thy countenance fallen? And the problem was sin. It'll show in your countenance. But Christian, I want to say to you this morning, if God has smiled upon you, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, everybody around you will take notice that you've been with God. But this elder brother, it says in verse 28, he was angry. And that word angry really means he fell into a rage. He was furious. And you can see, I'm quite sure, the bad attitude of that elder brother. But I want to say to you that if you're God's child, his face shine upon you. Solomon said, A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, and that joyous heart will give a pleasing countenance, and you'll see it in your face. Wrong attitudes usually bring defeat. A wrong attitude and success rarely go together. They just don't fit into the same mold. In fact, Paul said those who have the wrong attitude, those who have a wrong attitude make shipwreck of their faith. This elder brother was in the field working, and I commend him for being a worker. But when he heard the music and dancing, he said to the servant, what's going on? And the servant said, well, your younger brother has come home. Well, that should have been enough to encourage him. But he had the wrong attitude, and he wouldn't go in. He was the loser. There are some who name the name of Christ and call themselves Christian who have a wrong attitude toward a brother or a sister, a resentment, an unforgiving spirit, and before long that attitude will turn against God and Christ and the church, and you'll be questioning God, and your relationship with God will not be what it ought to be, your attitude. Let me encourage you, Christian, if you want the right attitude, turn to the book of God. This book will take away that negative, pessimistic, melancholy thinking, the kind of thinking that produces a bad attitude, and it'll give you the right attitude. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, that is the word of God, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Dr. Harry Ironside tells a story of an illiterate Christian who got up and in a testimony meeting, and she said, I'm always blessed by the words, and it came to pass. When trouble comes, I go to my Bible, and I begin to read, and I don't read very far until I come across the word, and it came to pass. Thank God it didn't come to stay. Now, her interpretation of that scripture isn't the best, but it's true. Trouble may come to the child of God, but they do not stay. A wrong attitude causes one to settle for second best. God has good things for his children. God has things for us to richly enjoy. He's prepared for us things. But a wrong attitude will cause us to miss God's best and God's will for our life. In verse 31 of our text, he said to his son, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine, to this older brother. The wrong attitude of the older brother caused him to speak disrespectfully to his father and question his father, your son devoured your living on harlots, and he's come back, and you've given him things. And a wrong attitude will cause you to question God. A wrong attitude will cause you to come short of all that God has for you. God longs to bless you. And there's no book in the Bible that speaks more clearly of that than the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1:3, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And then as you turn to chapter 3, Paul said, I bow the knee and I pray for you that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be able to comprehend and to know the love of God that passeth understanding. And if that's the type of a spirit you are, you'll get over the spirit of a bad attitude. You will never comprehend, however, or know the love of God or be filled with the love of God if your attitude is lousy. You'll never know the fullness of the love of God. Wrong attitudes bring all types of hardship. Man is his own worst enemy. He often brings all kinds of hardship on himself. We read in Job 3, verse 24, for my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like water. The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Now, this is true of so many people. They're waiting for trouble. People just looking for trouble. With the wrong attitude, they successfully run into trouble. They find trouble in home and work and friends in the church. One reason for the work of God being hindered is the wrong attitude. Wrong attitudes will rarely, if ever, see people come to know Christ. This jealous older brother blocked the blessings of God. A good attitude. Don't you appreciate a good attitude? This is a true story. The Yankee Shoe Company sent a salesman to Africa to sell shoes. The salesman was only there a few days. He wired back and said, "Don't send me any shoes. Nobody in Africa wears shoes where I'm at. I'm coming home." They sent another salesman, the Yankee Shoe Company. And the man was only there a few days, and he wired home and he said, "Send all the shoes you can. Everybody here needs shoes." It was all in the attitude. The attitude. A good attitude is like medicine. Mark Twain says the difference between work and play is the attitude. It takes the same muscles to play golf as it does to mow the grass. It takes the same energy and muscles to spade a garden and fix a garden as it does to play baseball. And yet we call the one work and the other play. Mark Twain said it's all in your attitude. Now, men, you ought to change your attitude about work and make it play. A wrong attitude brings hardship. A wrong attitude turns people off. This elder brother had a disposition that repelled others. He had an attitude of superiority. He called one of the servants, and the word servants here is a slave. Called one of the slaves. Now, he was better than the slave, but that younger brother, when he came home, he said, "Dad, I'm not worthy to be a son. Just make me a servant." Well, that's a good attitude, isn't it? Jesus came into this world, and Paul said, "You have the mind of Christ." He came in the form of a servant. He was here as a servant. He washed the disciples' feet. Don't you appreciate that kind of an attitude? But this elder brother, he had the attitude that he was better than his prodigal brother. He had a self-righteous attitude. Now, Jesus said, "He that's without sin, let him cast the first stone." You see, that kind of an attitude turns people off. It turns people away from Christ. It hinders the work of Christ. Moses sent 12 spies to spy the land. Caleb and Joshua said, "We're able to go up and take the land." But the other 10 men said, "We're not able. They're stronger than we are." And they brought up an evil report on the land. They had the wrong attitude. Our daily life should be a blessing to others. Jesus said that our daily life should be like salt. It should season and attract people to Christianity. Jesus said we're to be like a light, a city set on a hill. Spurgeon said, "We're not to be like a cottage in the valley. We're to be like a city set on the hill. We do not light a candle and put it under a bed or under a bushel. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our life and light should shine out to people daily and constantly. The missionary J. Hudson Taylor liked to tell the story about a Chinese pastor who would, as soon as a person came to Christ and was converted, he would send them out to witness right away. And one day he met a young Christian and he said, "How long have you been a Christian?" "Well," he said, I've been a Christian for 6 months." "Well," he said, "how many people have you pointed or led to Christ?" "Oh," he said, I'm just a learner." Okay. Now, God doesn't expect you to be a full-fledged preacher, but expects you to be a consistent witness. Let me ask you another question. When does a light begin to shine? When does a candle begin to shine? After it's half burned? No, he said, as soon as it's lit. And as soon as you come to Christ, Others ought to take knowledge that you've been with Christ. They ought to know it. Oh, you don't club them over the head, but your life is a salt and a witness to them. Your attitude is one that would draw them to Christ. A wrong attitude could be changed. Now, was this elder brother's attitude changed? I do not know. We do know that the father went out of the house and talked to them. Now, the father left the house when he saw the prodigal running. He left his house and went out and met him. Now the father leaves the house and goes out and talks to the elder brother. And it says he entreated him. And that means he pled with him. He tried to win him over. What's his attitude changed? I do not know. This parable was given in the presence of Sadducees and Pharisees. Was the prodigal a Sadducee? Was the elder brother a Pharisee? Well, attitudes can be changed. Praise God. He can deal with our personalities, and we can glorify God with them. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And we're to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. How's your attitude? At 3 o'clock in the morning, a missionary candidate walked into the office of a missionary headquarters to be examined by the missionary board. He sat there until 8 o'clock. The examiner came in at 8 o'clock, without any word of explanation for being there at 8. And he said, let's begin our test. He said, let's begin the test. First of all, would you spell the word baker? And the young missionary candidate said, B-A-K-E-R. He said, that's right. That's excellent. Now, let's look at figures. What's 2 plus 2? And he said, 4. Fine, the examiner said, you've passed the test. I'll recommend you tomorrow that you be appointed as a missionary to our society. When the examiner met with the board, he said, I want to highly recommend that candidate to be a missionary because he passed the test. First, I tested him on self-denial. I told him to be here in the office at 3 o'clock. He left a warm bed. He came out into the cold without a word of complaint. Then I examined him on patience. I made him wait for 5 hours to see me. I tested him on temper. He failed to show any sign of it. He did not complain. He did not question my delay. And finally, I tested his humility. I asked him questions that a child could answer, and he took no offense. He has all the characteristics of the kind of a missionary we need. How's your attitude? Attitudes can be changed. How can they be changed? Romans 12 says, by the mercies of God, we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that renewing of the mind it's something that is continually being renewed and renewed. The old man is to be taken to the cross. We're to be renewed in the spirit of the mind. And we're to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. How's your attitude this morning? Can people look at you and take knowledge that you've been with Christ, that you love the Lord? The sins of the saint, a wrong attitude. It can be changed, and the Holy Spirit of God wants to change you and use you as a light in this world, a witness for him. Your life will say more than your words will ever match. You just live for him. Walk with him. Just a smile to that grocer. Just a word to that attendant saying, Jesus loves you. Are you a Christian? Do you know Christ? And do it in a right way. The Holy Spirit will use that. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that in this world of indifference, in this chaotic world in which we're a part, we know that you have good things prepared for those that love you. May we truly be a light. May we be a witness. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.